from Nashville, Tennessee. This is Keep Asking, the weekly podcast that helps you dive in a bit deeper and wider into the research providing insights into today's church and culture. Welcome, everyone. I'm Lizette Beard, and I'm here with my colleagues Scott McConnell and Casey Oliver. Today, we are talking about areas of where churches are serving. But first, let's stop, and we're going to have some true confession time. What is an area of service or volunteering, like your church or your small group, does that is so good, and you are so supportive of it, but you really want to be the last person picked to ever go do it? Is there an area of service where you're like, please, I just don't want to? And you know, it's just your least favorite. And I'll share mine, give you a moment. And this is terrible. So I'm just saying, this is terrible, but I always seem to be in small groups that have a heart for nursing homes. And there are people who love to go to nursing homes, but then they come back with stories of clipping toenails, holding hands, all of that kind of stuff, or even eating ice cream in the dining room, which sounds great. And there's such a need. And as my extended family gets older, I see the need and I see the loneliness in some of those folks' lives. And even those who, you know, especially those maybe who aren't in nursing homes. But I will almost always figure out a way. I won't be available that night. And so that's mine. That certainly in the past has been my,
would make a good blog post, all the excuses that you've used to get out of these opportunities.
Yes. You know, and when you're around folks who, and maybe it's the folks who are higher, have a higher gifting in mercy. And I don't want to give myself an excuse, but if it's a spiritual gift of mercy, that is my excuse because that's so low. But that's the one where I'm always like, I'm a terrible person. So when do you think, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible person? Not me. I don't want to know when you think I'm a terrible person. I want to know your.
I think I'm going to change the question a little bit because
he's uncomfortable with that.
No. it's just that it's harder for me, like an area of like, oh, this is a specific ministry of my church. It's actually at home where I feel like,
okay,
where I think like every dirty job, like, you know, like changing the cat litter, things like that. Like I just feel like grossed out by it. I like wind up just being like, I think I tend to like, oh, I'm not going to notice this for another day, and hope Mary Beth takes care. And again, like if we're just sharing like the why am I a terrible person,
right.
Like that's one for me.
I'm very sad. That's very fulfilling. I think that's actually a very good one.
You did it to yourself by having the cats in the first
place.
Yeah, this one's going to sound bad. I guess there's no other way around this.
I've been nursing home, and so.
So yeah, to me, hospital visits are like that. That there's probably never been a hospital visit where I didn't walk away glad I went and glad I visited. But just the whole experience of not knowing what you're walking into, often, you know, sometimes not even knowing the people that I've been asked to go see as a deacon, you know, it's uncomfortable. And so, yeah.
Yeah. No,
I'm actually going to come back around. I'm not going to share more. But to what Scott just said, I just had my first relatively recently as a deacon, our first time where I was supposed to visit a funeral home, like, you know, in our grief ministry. And I didn't know the person and I didn't feel like I was going to know anyone there. And so it was really uncomfortable just because like I'm walking into this place and I'm going to try to encourage them in some way. And it's, you know, like, what would I say that, you know, as a stranger, basically, you know, so, but just to, you know, it was nice because there was another deacon who came with me and we just sort of said, hey, we're here on behalf of the church. And it wound up being a meaningful experience, but just on the front end, I thought, I don't have anything to say here that's going to be, you know, like to anything to offer. Why am I coming to this? You know, just some stranger shows up at your person's funeral.
Right. Now, in all fairness, I do think Casey and I shared worse ones because I could suspect that, because I certainly can understand, you know, it can be that you don't want there to be a bad experience for the person you're visiting. Whereas, you know, I think ours, I mean, people would just really have been thankful for some help and some encouragement.
Mary Beth specifically.
Yes. Yeah. And so, all right. Well, that's good. I feel there's some kind of, it's a bizarre.
Cathartic.
Yeah, that's a very cathartic beginning to that. So, our question this time asked Americans, which, if any, of the following areas of service have you heard local Christian churches or their members doing in the last 6 months? So we had a big old list. We won't rattle those off, in order with the numbers, but we'll have the chart in the show notes. But across the board with all Americans, feeding the hungry was the big winner. That's what they had heard about churches doing in the last 6 months. And the smallest was providing tax preparation. I was actually surprised that even hit 8%, because I'm not really aware of that, you know, not as familiar with that. So, and clothing the poor was 50%. So those, I could have maybe guessed those ahead of time that those would be higher. Any of the others that stood out to you? Casey, you want to talk about sheltering the homeless? I know you're actually involved. We'll turn this ship around, and you're actually involved in that. Share a little bit about what you do.
Okay,
he didn't know I was going to do that.
No, I didn't. And actually, one of the other points that Scott and I had been talking about beforehand is, like, to what extent is it good when people don't know that some of these about some of the things you're doing? So now I'm letting the left hand know what the right hand's doing.
Yes, but I
via national. But no, that's fine.
But you didn't know.
So
I know everyone will be tickled to know that I don't actually talk to you guys before these, because I really enjoy surprising
so
you.
I'll just say our church and ministry that we have. Is that I just lost the name of all of a sudden because we're talking on air.
Room at the Inn.
Yes, thank you. So Room at the Inn, and I drive a van for it, and we just pick up a group of people who are temporarily without a place to stay. And
now, do you drive your own van, or is it?
It's a church van.
What's the logo in the saying on the church van?
It's not a saying that we use. So you took a picture of those. It's first loved, first loving. Is
yes.
that the? Oh man, that's. Yeah, so I don't know when they put that on there. I've never heard anyone at my church say that phrase before, which I feel like is a blessing of sorts. But
first, that was a good laugh. I'm sorry you can't hear Scott laugh, but we actually got a side sway out of Scott. But yes, first loved. Mm-hmm. So you're driving the first loved, first loving van
yeah.
to Room at the Inn.
So we just pick a group of people up, and then I bring them back to our church, and they stay the night, and we just set out mattresses, and they get a nice warm meal that one of our Sunday school groups cooks for them, and we set out clothes, you know, jackets and things like that, because it's during the winter months that we have this, and it's a really cool ministry, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. So.
Okay, mm-hmm. So 33%, and this is want to remind folks, listeners, that this is across all Americans. So 33% have heard of churches, local churches, doing that, which is interesting to me. The comparison, fewer had heard of offering after-school programs. I would tend to think that those are maybe more common. I don't know the numbers, but I feel really comfortable saying there's probably more churches involved in after-school programs than sheltering the homeless. Would you guys say, if you were going to guess numbers?
Well,
I know that's such a healthy thing to do.
I'd be guessing.
Yeah, I mean, so as long as we're honest about when we're guessing.
And that's something that Scott and I talked about before this. Is that would be an interesting follow-up question, is to ask among pastors which of these, you know, ministries is your church involved in, and sort of have a comparison there to see, you know, you would think the ones that people have heard more about churches doing would line up with the ones that churches are doing more, but, you know, maybe there are some places where it's sort of hidden ministry, I guess, more.
But if people have certain interests or beliefs, they tend to be more likely to hear those
right.
things that
right.
they have an interest in.
Right.
And we see that, like, with people who have a graduate degree. That's not a large number of Americans. But people with a graduate degree are more likely to say their local churches are tutoring school kids.
Right, okay.
They're more likely to say churches are teaching English to
okay.
immigrants. They're more likely to say churches are offering tax preparation, even though it's still a small number. So because they have an interest in those areas, they notice them more when they hear somebody in their community talking about it. And we also notice that people age 65 plus, the things they tended to be high on were feeding, clothing, and shelter, which kind of is that thing you learn real early on as the basic human needs.
Right.
And they've kind of gone their whole lives assuming churches are helping with those basic food, clothing, shelter type of things. And that comes through with what they say they've heard churches are doing.
Right. Yeah, it was, I find you guys are doing a really good job at keeping clarity of who we asked and what we asked, because I found as I was looking at the data, I kept wanting to blur the line, you know, this is what they heard local churches doing. And I kept wanting to say, this is what they're doing, or this is what their church is doing. And so I think there's several layers that would be nice follow-ups, you know, that we could look at. But this is what they've heard churches or their members doing in the last 6 months. 14% said none of these.
But 86% said something. So, you know, it's, well, you know, you could take that kind of as good news, bad news, and you could, we could have this conversation probably about any of our statistics, but this is probably a good one to think about. You know, if you're writing on this, or you're blogging on this, or you're going to talk to a friend about this, you have a choice. Are you going to take the positive and say, wow, 86% of Americans have heard something in the last 6 months where a local church is serving, they're helping mm-hmm. people. Or you can take the, wow, 14% of Americans think churches are doing nothing. And, you know, both are legitimate. Those are both real numbers, but completely different headlines as far as how we're starting a conversation.
Yeah, and you could actually get two blog posts out of that. If you're... So I think that would actually be, you know, point, counterpoint.
Well,
so.
And I felt like this is one of the hard ones where I feel like I kept going back and forth on the, should I be encouraged by some of these? Should I be discouraged by them? I don't even know, you know, like even if it's a high number, does that, you know, so there's sort of two elements to it, right? Again, well, I guess that means that, you know, churches are doing these things, that somebody's aware of it, you know, and then there's the element of, but also we don't necessarily want to be trumpeting. This is like, look at all the great stuff that we're doing. We want to just be doing ministry and, you know, hopefully that's impacting people, but it's not just, you know, for the show of, you know, look at all the great things I'm doing service-wise. So,
well, and
I don't know. It's tricky because I don't even know, like, what's the ideal awareness number on this, you know?
Well, and I think going back to Scott's point, you know, school teachers who, if they're in an area where their kids are getting extra tutoring and they're seeing the benefit, I know, last summer heard about some amazing things a church in Memphis is doing as far as getting, you know, just getting kids that extra tutoring time, reading time. And if you're a teacher, I don't care. Well, I'm making a blanket statement here, but if you are seeing kids make progress and it's not all on you and it's not all, you know, what's happening at the home, but you're seeing, you know, at-risk kids get some extra help, you know, there's no guarantee that changes your faith, but you have to notice. You've got to know, especially if there's a concentrated effort. And I would say, you know, any of these, when if you know someone in prison who is being encouraged, there's a real neat thing Southeastern is doing. Southeastern Seminary is actually partnering, and Joe Gibbs Racing is helping sponsor it. But they're, I think, sending interns and ministry programs into the prisons in North Carolina. Just this focus of doing that. They've seen that need. I think it's been modeled in some other areas. But it's, if you know that person in prison, that means something to you, because it's ministering in ways that you can't, caring for them. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I think even sort of more broadly than just, okay, the people who have seen how the ministry has impacted them, but also I think for churchgoers, sort of knowing, obviously, the ways that our church is ministering to people in the community. So I might go through here and say, oh, I'm aware of a bunch of these, check, because my own church is doing a lot of them, and then a lot of other local churches. But just an awareness, you know, I think part of what I see in here is an awareness that, you know, just because your church is doing something doesn't mean your community is aware of the thing your church is doing. And on some level, that's okay, but also I think that probably informs, you know, don't just assume that every conversation that you're having with somebody who's unchurched is going to, like, that they might know, you know, like they've already developed a lot of great goodwill towards the idea of church because they know all these ministries that, you know, churches are involved in, because again, 1 in 7 don't know any ministries a church is involved in. So that's,
it's a tough trade-off because, you know, on one hand, as you mentioned, Jesus said not to trumpet. He was specifically talking about giving to the poor, not just a good deed, but actually giving to the poor. You know, he said, people who do that have their reward. But then, so we see that in Matthew 6, but over in John 13, he says, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And so that's something that's known. And the love that we show is what makes us known. So some of it comes back to our motive. If right. the reason we're serving is for the PR, the public relations that causes, if the reason we're serving is for recognition, then that's our reward.
Right.
We're done. But if the reason we're serving is out of true love for our neighbors and sometimes our own church members are in these categories of people in need, you know, then that's the right motive. And, you know, how much should we be making sure other people know that? Or do we just let that happen naturally and let God share that? That to me is a tough question to answer.
It's a little easier for me to answer because I'm probably more comfortable with people knowing every once in a while when I do a good deed than you guys
once
are.
In a while.
So, but the other thing is, you know, if folks are so protective of that it could get in the way of just good logistics. I just thought of our podcast we did with Autumn Miles and churches who are helping victims of domestic violence. It's a really good thing if people in your community know that your church or a church, who can I send this person to? Who can help them? Or if someone doesn't have the resources, because we know for a fact there are very caring people who are completely outside the church. And even, as we know inside the church, it's hard to do everything. And so even if they can just know this is a resource available for my community, and I know good funds go there, I know that people are taken care of, and they're treated with integrity. And I think there's also something to be said, going back to what we discussed, you know, really we feel like every church should be equipped to help victims of domestic violence, if we're just going to have an opinion. But not every church is probably going to provide tax preparation. But if you know which church is doing that, maybe the bigger church has several accountants and they've just worked out the logistics of that and they've got a good thing, let that be known so people can tell. And I think that's where it requires, maybe if we don't announce our own good deeds, maybe other churches can announce and let people in the community and in the churches know these are resources for our community and our community is better off for it.
I think that, yeah, exactly. Sort of one of those things that makes you feel like, hey, they're, you know, this, we need people to know about this resource that could be available to other people. You know, if it's a good deed, quote unquote, that that you're just doing for someone, you know, I don't think that necessarily needs to be told, but if it's a ministry that's available to people, that feels, you know, like you'd like those people who need it to be aware of it. You know, I think that's a challenge of, I was telling Scott, you know, crisis pregnancy centers. I'd really want, you know, women who are having a difficult time taking, you know, preparing for having children to be aware of some of the resources that are available to them as they're going through that process, because there are great people who are serving in those ministries who can help them. You know, I don't think that's the same thing as just kind of announcing, hey, look at great things that I'm doing or my church is doing, as opposed to saying, hey, here's someone who can help you. You know, that's good.
And there are signs in this data that even among Christians, we're not aware of what's going on in other circles. So as you mentioned, tax preparation, you know, I know of one church in my local community that offers that, and that need is probably not one that every church needs to be satisfying. And so if I know of that one church and can refer people there, that's probably enough. But, you know, even as we see the responses of Protestants and Catholics, it's possible that as they read the wording that they weren't sure if Christian churches included them or if it included the other group. But there were stark differences on every question all the way through. And it's probably because those two groups don't know what each other's doing.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's probably true across other denominations as well, where we're not aware of the services in our community that are available. And as we've seen on things like domestic violence and mental health, referrals can be one of the best services we offer as a church. And if we know what else is being offered in our community from people we trust, we can be referring people, and that's as big of a service sometimes as offering it ourselves.
Well, our time is up. I would encourage y'all to look at take a look at this on our website at lifewayresearch.com. There's several of these that we weren't able even to get to, but certainly if you want to get the word out or take a look at this, I think it'll be helpful. Thank you for listening, and would encourage you to subscribe on iTunes, rate the podcast if you can. You can email us feedback and questions at research@lifeway.com and find us on Twitter at Lifeway Research, at S. McCon, at Stats Guy Casey, and at Lizette Beard. We look forward to talking to you during the next time. Keep asking, learn more, do better.